We did have such a good time yesterday. The Lord, is He just blessed from the word go. A beautiful day, and safe travels, and wonderful time, a good lunch, good fellowship. And then He just poured out blessings on us. He just come down and sit right in our lap. And some of them ladies didn't know what to think when I cut a shine. But I said it was either that or my head was going to pop off. So I can't, when it gets on you like that, you can't do nothing about it. It's just, I fear that the generation below me doesn't know what that's like. And my prayer is that they'll get a hold of that and let it get a hold of them. Because there's nothing like it. And I'm thankful this morning for the love of God. Mm-hmm. How He loves me and how He's faithful even when I'm not. He loves me when I'm good, when I'm bad, mm-hmm. when I'm sad. He just loves me. And I pray y'all will listen to the words of these two songs. They go right together. Mm-hmm. And just let it speak to your heart. Thank you.
I don't know that we can explain how much He loves us and what He has done for us and what He's doing for us. And you can't beat Him. I love them songs together there. That's good. We're glad you're here this morning. And you know, we spend a lot of time trying to get people to trust the Lord. Most every day I speak to someone or try to encourage someone to trust the Lord to be saved and witness people. You hand out tracts, you hand out invitations, you do, you never do enough, but you do some and you wait to see what's going to take place. But a lot of times we forget that we have the Lord now. It's not just when I die that I have the Lord now. And if I can, for just a minute, I'm going to try to encourage you this morning. I want you to listen carefully. And I want you to know you can trust the Lord today, every day. Not just someday, but every day you can trust the Lord. All right? Let's pray together. Father, I come today. You're so wonderful. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm a failure in everything I touch. Lord, I'm not going to mark iniquities because, Lord, I won't be able to stand either. Lord, there's no way. And, Lord, I ask you this morning to cleanse me, remove anything from my mind, my heart that would be contrary to your will. Lord, help me to stand here today and proclaim your wonderful word, the truth of your word. Not the way I want to, but the way you want me to. May you touch me fresh of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give me power to speak through me to every mind, to every heart. And Lord, I pray that as you speak to us, you'll draw us to a place that we can trust you completely. Some for salvation, some for everyday needs. Whatever the needs may be here today, may we trust you completely. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been preaching on reality, and we still have a few messages probably left on that, but reality just simply means the truth now. It's reality. A lot of people don't live in reality. They live in a fantasy land. They, like we teased a while ago, they live in that, Twilight Zone, and they live what they don't want to accept the truth. Sometimes things happen rough, and then when you have truth hit you, then you can't handle it because we're living in a fantasy world up until that time. Well, I'm here to tell you today that Job says that man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Troubles come as a spark fly upward. I mean, things are going to life go by quickly. We sung "Where We'll Never Grow Old." Carolyn said when she testified, "It means more the older you get." Some of y'all young ones, you said, "We sing that all the time." Well, there's a lot of old people here that need that song, and I'm gaining on it. I'm gaining on it, and it does mean more. Where we'll never grow old. When you wake up and your eyes are open, and you would love to jump out of bed, but your body don't realize your eyes are open. And that's life. That's just sometimes things are a little tough. And that's just the way things are. So I'm glad there's a better day. But see, the reality is we grow old. That's reality. And that's reality now. We grow older. And as we grow older, can I tell you, we become more accountable. Yes. The older we get, the more accountable we become because of the things we know, the things we learn. And we're far more accountable than we was when we started. And I've got people watching me. I've got you watching me. I've got children, two boys that still watch me. I've got grandchildren that watch me. And they want to mimic what I do. I got to be so careful in everything. But how am I going to do that? Well, I'm a failure. I mean, I do wrong. I don't do what I want to do. And I find myself doing what I don't want to do. I mean, that's my battle. That's your battle. But how do we make it through? Well, I got to have the Lord. I got to have the Lord in every area of my life. I got to have the Lord in every step of my life. And that's reality. See, we do spend a lot of time waiting for the hereafter. Well, hereafter is all going to be all right. Hereafter, the Lord is in control of us, and He changes us and our bodies. As Brother Rick taught us this morning, I'm going to a place where I won't sin anymore. I'm going to a place where I won't think about sin, that I won't fail, that I won't make a mistake. I'll have a mind like Christ. I'll have a body like Christ. I won't have no sin nature. It won't enter my mind. It'll be a perfect place, a perfect surrounding with a perfect Savior, and I'll be perfect then, and it'll be wonderful. But until now, I've got to have the Lord every step of the way, because I'm not like that right now. I'm not perfect right now. Now, there is a part inside of me that is perfect where Christ dwells, right? It is my hope of glory, Christ in me, hope of glory, but I'm struggling with this. I struggle with this old stuff that's wrapped over me, this old flesh. I'm troubled with that. I'm troubled with a mind that we claim. We try to cop out and say we don't have a mind. We got a mind. We got a mind, and we're doing what we want. We do what we want, when we want, how we want, where we want. And we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. That's what we're supposed to have. But I want you to think about the reality of now. See, it is true. It is true. If y'all want to throw up there on the board, Luke 19 and 10. It is true that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know that? It is true. It is true that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. But you know, that's not all there is. Now, that is the main thing, but that's not all there is. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Think about it. Ain't that wonderful that He come to do that? In the shape we're in, that He come to seek you out and save you, that's what He wants to do. Everybody's important. There's nobody less important than the other. There's nobody worthless to the point that God don't love you. Amazing love. How can it be that a king would die for me? There ain't nobody better than the Lord this morning. Think about that. It is true. It is true that he wants everyone to go to heaven. We know that. But can I tell you, it's true that He's the only way. Look at John. Throw it up there. John 14:6. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. The way. Definite article. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that's just a fact. That's reality. It's a reality that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's reality that He's the only way, that nobody is going to spend eternity in heaven without Jesus Christ. You must be saved. You're going to have to trust the Lord. And He made the way. He made the way. Ain't that wonderful? Think about that. And it's true that anybody that believes, won't perish. If they'll trust Jesus, they will not perish. That's a guarantee from the Lord. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And the Bible plainly tells that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise toward us, but some men count slackness. That's what He'll tell us there. Let's read it here. I don't want to misquote it at all. But it says here, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Look what He says, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now that's what the Lord wants. We know that. And can I tell you, if that's all we ever preached, then that would be good. That would be good. But what happens after you get saved? What does He do for you after you get saved? Now, you got to get saved. That's the first place. That's the first base. That's the first thing you need to know. He's not going to be nothing else to you until He becomes your Savior. He don't answer your prayers. Pray all you want. But until you trust Him as Savior, He's not listening. The Bible plainly says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He does not hear a lost person's prayer. Why? Why would He answer your prayer? You're spitting in His face. You won't accept His salvation. Why would He even listen to you? Why would He not just press you out of life? Just snuff you out? Huh? But the first thing that has to happen is that you be saved. But if that was all, that would be great. But there's more to the Christian life than just being saved. And we miss the reality of the fellowship and the greatness of a loving Savior and a wonderful God. We miss that daily fellowship that He gives. Now, I've got eternal life. I'm not going to get it. I've got it. When I trusted Him as my Savior many years ago, He gave me eternal life then. Whenever you trusted Christ as your Savior, He gave you eternal life. But that's yonder. I got present life now. What do I do now? What do I do now? Well, I got eternal life. Okay, enjoy your eternal life. Are you enjoying your eternal life? How many here is enjoying their eternal life? Everybody ain't. Why? Because you got trouble. You got problems. You got issues. We all got issues. I talked to David Nix yesterday, and I said, "How you doing, David?" He said, "Well," he said, "I got issues." He said, "You know me, I've got a lot of issues." And I said, "We probably ought not discuss them, should we?" He said, "We don't have time." Can I tell you, I've got issues. Anybody here got any issues? I've got issues that I deal with all the time, and ain't nothing I do about it. I seem like I'm just a mess. I'm getting more mileage out of what Phil told me a couple weeks ago. I said, "Phil, how you doing?" "I'm a saved mess, Dad." And that's what I'm, just a saved mess. That explains me, I think, better than anything that's ever been explained. I'm a saved mess. Huh? Can I get a witness from anybody that resembles that remark? Huh? I mean, ain't that what we are? But I gotta have the Lord. If I've gotta wait till I get the new body, if I've gotta wait till the millennial reign's over and the devil's in thrown in the lake of fire and we go into the new heavens and the new earth, if I've gotta wait till then to have an enjoyable time, then I'm in a bad shape. But can I tell you, I've got it now. I've got Christ now, and He's an everyday Savior. He's wonderful every day. Every day. And you need to enjoy Him every day. That's the reality of this thing. See, reality ain't just going to heaven. If that would be the case, He'd save me and take me then. But He wants me to live a life that He can show me how great He is. Now, He is great to save me and take me to be with Him. I mean, that blows my mind. But then, though, to take time with me every day after that. Until I get there, to take time with me. To know me every step, everything I say, everything I think, every move that I make, He's there. So if I can this morning, I want to try to just encourage you a little bit. Encourage you a little bit for reality. Huh? See, He's a present. He's always in the present. He's not in the future. He's always present. Turn to John with me, would you? We'll read our text verse here in just a moment. Let's look in John chapter 8. The Gospel of John chapter 8. The Gospel of John chapter 8. And let's look up here about verse 54, maybe get a little bit of thought of what's going on here. John, Gospel of John, chapter 8. Yeah, verse 54. So Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom ye say that He is your God. Yet ye have not known Him. But I know him. This is Jesus speaking now. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. You know, before Abraham was, I was. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Present. He's present. He was present then. When he talked to the Jews and the scribes and the Pharisees and all those who would hear him, he told him, listen, I was there, I was present then, and I'm present now because I am. Can I tell you, he still am. He still I am. Huh? Let's look at our text verse this morning in Psalms 46. In Psalms 46, and I want to preach to you if I can this morning on reality, Jesus is a present help. Reality that Jesus is a present help. He's not just my future help. He's a present help this morning. And I want everybody to listen carefully because somewhere in here it's going to get us. And we can trust the Lord. Look at me this morning. You can trust the Lord. I don't care what you're going through this morning. You can trust the Lord. You can depend on Him. You can trust Him. He will never leave you nor forsake you if you're one of His children. And if you're not one of His children, can I tell you that it's not His will that you perish, but that you come to repentance, that He saves you, that everybody here this morning, under the sound of my voice, on the live streaming here, can leave the same way this morning, trusting Jesus, walking with Jesus, enjoying the journey. I thought Scott Pauley had got that podcast, Enjoying the Journey. Man, it ain't no better than enjoying the journey with Jesus. Friday, me and Cheryl Ann celebrated our 43rd wedding anniversary this past Friday. And one of my old school friends, Bones Ramsey, deacon down the Anstead Baptist, they got married exactly 6 months after us, March the 6th. They got married. We got married September the 6th. We rode to work together when I got married. We've just been together all these years. And he wrote and wished me a happy anniversary. And the first thing that comes to my mind was, it's been a long journey. Me and Cheryl just talked about it. It's been a long journey. Well, can I tell you that I've been saved? Now, listen to this. Now, I'm ashamed of the way I've lived in many places. But May the 27th, 1973, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. May the 27th, 1973. Now, I've done a lot of things I wish I'd never done. I have. I've said a lot of things, thought a lot of things, been some places I wish I'd never been. But I can tell you this morning, that it was the best decision I ever made. Now, it's been a long journey. Now, I've seen a lot of water go under the bridge. Some of it's been high and muddy. Some of it's been clear and calm, but there's been a lot of water going over. But I can tell you today that I find Him completely sufficient in every area of my life ever since then. I tell you this morning, it may be a long journey, but it gets sweeter every day because of Christ. It does. It does. Look here in Psalms chapter 46. Can we read just a little bit? God is our refuge and strength. Look what it says. A very present help in trouble. Not future help. Not past help. But He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore, why is that therefore? Because of what's up above. Because He's a very present help in trouble, therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Think about that. Think about him being a very present help. I'm here to tell you, he's a present help. I needed him this morning. I needed him last night. He was there. Hey, I needed him yesterday. He was there. But when I got up this morning, guess who was there? He was there. Can I tell you, while I was sleeping, I wasn't paying him no mind, but can I tell you that he was watching over me while I slept? Last night was there was a lot of activity over our way last night, and I was up and down and looking out the windows and letting the dog in and out because of excitement around our house and our neighbor's house and a lot of things going on. Can I tell you that when I woke, he was there. When I went back to bed, he was there. When I woke again, he was there. I just can't get away from him. Do you know that? That when I went out on the porch early this morning and sound, he was there. When I went back in the house, he was there. When I got dressed, he was there. When got me something to drink, he was there. When I took my medicine, he was there. When I got in the car, he was there. When I drove over here, he was there. When I got in the parking lot, he was there. When I walked in the door, he was there. When I walked, are you getting it yet? He just happened to be there because he's my present help. He's my present help. Every day. Every day, all day. Any day, every day, all day. He's my present help. And I need him. And I need him. Now let's read on. It says, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. I like verse 6 here. It says, the heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He utters his voice, and earth melted. In other words, they don't shake him. The heathen don't shake him. The kingdoms don't shake him. Trouble don't shake him at all. He'll just utter, and everything just melts. The Lord of hosts, what's it say? You tell me. The Lord of hosts. Can I read that again? The Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. Huh? The God of Jacob. The God of Jacob? Huh? I want you to know he's a present help. He's a present help. A present help. He's my help right now. Now, look at me this morning. You need him. You need him. Now, you may not think you need him, but you need him. You need him to get through this service. You need him to get you home. You need him to lay down tonight. You need him come morning. You need him every step of the way because you can't do it. You don't have enough sense to do right. You don't even have enough desire to do right. Can I tell you? You ain't got enough sense to make the right choices. Hey, you're going to mess up. You're going to think wrong. If not careful, you're going to do wrong. You need the Lord. Huh? There's going to be temptations come. It's going to cause you want to sin. You can't resist that if it wasn't for the Lord inside of you. You'd make mistakes so bad that it would run your mind, run your life. You got to have a Lord every day. We'll say, well, preacher, I've already messed up. He'll pick you up. He'll give you what you need. He's there all the time. Hear me this morning. You got the Lord and he's a present help. That's reality. Use him this morning. Not use him to belittle him, but use him because he's available, because of what he's offering you, huh? Yeah. Think about it. Think about it. He's there to help you because you can't. You ain't got it in you. You can't do it. You ain't got the strength. You're already wore out. How come you was wore out when you got up this morning? You ain't even done nothing yet. How come you was wore out? If I was asking you to raise your hand, how many was wore out when they got up this morning? It was just like you was when you went to bed, wore out last night, got up the same way. How come? Because you can't find rest in yourself. You only find it in him. Is everybody hearing me this morning? Now you say, well, I know that. Then do it. Then live it. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. You say, well, sometimes I can't. That's right. But he's still a present help. He's still a present help. Can we look at a few things this morning? Y'all care to look at a few things? Sometimes you get sick. Anybody here ever get sick? Sometimes you get sick. Sometimes you get sick, and I need help now. Turn over to Matthew chapter 9. We won't keep you long this morning. We just will give you a few thoughts here right quick and let you think on it. All right, Matthew chapter 9. And sometimes you get sick. Sometimes you've been sick. Some of you have been sick for a long time. Some of you you wonder, why is the Lord leaving me here? I can't do nothing. I can't do what I used to do. I'm of no good. Well, can I tell you, you must be some count or he would have done took you. There is something you can do. You are able. But sometimes we get sick. Sickness comes. Illness comes, bad sickness comes. But look here in Matthew chapter 9. And, let's see. Let's start at verse 19. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort right now.
Right.
All right. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole when? From that very hour. I'm wanting you to understand that he was helped right then when she was sick, and there's nobody in this church house, there's nobody on live stream this morning that are sick by themselves. If you've got an ailment, the Lord is there. Sometimes he'll heal you. Sometimes he wants you to go to the doctor. Sometimes he wants you to go and take the medicine that they're going to give you. You say, well, it may not help. No, but there's people there for you to talk to. There's nurses there that you can show the love of God to. There's doctors there that think they're God, and you might be able to tell them that they ain't God. He might just be trying to temper you a little bit, trying to give you a little bit more faith. And there's many reasons why you may be sick, but one thing I can assure you this morning is that he's a present help during that time. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that this morning? Now, I know you hear me, and I know you may believe it's right, but I'm asking you, do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that this morning? That when the illness comes, that he's our present help? If you've never been sick, you don't have a clue what I'm telling you.
That's right.
But if you've been flat on your back or hurting and something's went on and you say, ain't no way, can I tell you he's a help? Y'all already know about my life. I don't have to tell you anything about me, but I will tell you this. He's good when strokes come. He's good when heart attacks come. He's good when you fall off a house. He's good in car wrecks. He's good in four-wheeler wrecks. I mean, he's good, although he's there. Think about that. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Now look at me. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you really? Now I know you believe what I'm telling you.
Right.
But do you believe it for you?
Yes.
You may believe it for this one over here, and that, but do you believe it for you?
Yes.
He works, don't he, Don?
Yes,
When you're done laid, and they'll tell you you won't walk. When you're done laid, and they'll tell you you won't live. And the next thing you know, you're out walking about without a case. Let me tell you something. He's real. He's a present help. That's reality. Man, if I got to wait till I get to heaven, I'm not saying this disrespectfully, but if I can't have nothing till I get to heaven, I don't know if he's worth living for. He is. Do you hear me? Think about it. He's a present help. Man, I've done been there where they shook their head. I've done had him say he'll not make it to the hospital. I've done had him walk away and say, hey, he ain't never going to be able to do this again. Listen, when a doctor looks at you and says, we hope that with a lot of therapy, you may be able to move a little bit. That's what they told me. And I shired in 2 days. Don't tell me he ain't able. I just want you to know he's real this morning. You say, but there ain't no buts. There ain't no buts. You want to do it on your own?
No.
You want to do it on your own?
No.
You think you're having a rough time? Now, do it on your own. Huh? I'm just telling you this morning, the reality is he's a present help. He's a present. Can we go on? Huh? How about, I know when our hearts get broke, and this is a tender subject with us all here that we've seen so much here in the last few years, but when death comes, sickness comes, and death comes, we wonder, is the Lord even able? Huh? We get disappointed, people get sick, and they die. And let's go turn over to John chapter 11, can we? I'm not going to read everything, but maybe sometime in your reading, you can read from, we'll start about verse 17, you can read plumb down to verse 44. And we're just going to highlight a few verses. We're not going to read it all to you this morning. But here, if you want the story, here in John chapter 11, Jesus and his disciples are there. Someone comes and says, Jesus, you got a friend down there named Lazarus, and he's sick. And the family sent for you. Wanted to know if you'll come up there. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. He loved them. The Bible tells us that. And Lazarus is sick, and Jesus don't go. And you say, well, I thought he was always there. He had it under control. He was there and they didn't know it. He already knew what the sickness was. Huh? And then he waited a little while and they come and they told him, said, now listen, we need to get over. Lazarus is sick. And he said, no, he ain't. He's dead. He's dead. He ain't sick. He's dead. Well, he wasn't there. How did he know? Because he's God. He knows. He knows. He said he's dead. And then you get down to verse 17. It says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Man, he was really dead. He wasn't just dead, he was really dead. That's one thing to be dead for a few minutes. That ain't no big deal. I've done that time or two. That ain't no big deal. Huh? Everybody can't say that. I've done that time or two. Right? Huh? Listen. Rick Shooter ain't going to lie to you. He looked at me and said, he dead. Preacher dead. He didn't see it twice, and he don't want to do nothing with me no more. He won't come to my house no more. But here, Lazarus been dead. Been dead for a while. Said, then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid him in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the youth came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. And Mary said, still in the house. And said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. See, sickness comes, death comes. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said in her, thy brother shall rise again. See, I'm right here with you. I'm helping you. This ain't it. This ain't all she wrote. Thy brother will rise again. Listen, death comes, and sometimes the doctors can't help us, and sometimes nobody's there to help us, but we got a promise from the Word of God that they'll rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You say, well, preacher, how's that helping me? Because it's a promise. He helps you. When these things come, he's a promise in you it's going to be okay. Now, we get upset and we get sideways with him a little bit, and I understand that. Yeah, Mary did. Mary Martha was a little sideways with the Lord. Are you listening to me? But when I get down there, it says, when Jesus, verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Listen, I got a Savior that'll weep with me when I weep. When my heart's broken, he weeps with me. When my heart's broken, he's not forgot where I was. He knows the situation, and it seems like he's not there, but he is, because he's a present help. Are you listening to me this morning? Death don't concern him when he's the resurrection and the life. That's why it just don't, it don't work with him. He already knows how to handle it. He's getting ready to lay his life down and raise it up again and give us an eternal promise that he'll raise those up again that pass on. Listen to me. It's wonderful. And I want you to know he's a present help. And words of people don't help sometimes. Oh, but the words of him help me. It's true. It is wonderful. And he's a very present help in a time of trouble. And I read them promises that I know it's going to be okay. It's going to be hard. It's going to be okay. Are you hearing me? And I like that verse 44. When it just said, loose him and let him go. The last part of the verse, I want you to understand that someday they'll be loosed and let go. They ain't going to be bound by no more problems. I'm here to tell you, we okay this morning. I'm just trying to encourage you that there's a present help. A present help, huh? How about in Mark chapter 6? You know, we hear a lot of songs about storms and bad storms. Well, can I tell you, sometimes just everyday life is a storm. You know? I mean, there's some situations that come, but there's some tough storms. I mean, we're just in bad shape. Can I get amen there? Huh? But can I tell you, sometimes it's just everyday toiling gets tough. Can you agree to that? How about Mark chapter 6? Huh? Right, let's pick up about 45, verse 45. We still okay? Said that straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. Did you realize this morning that he sees you toiling? He sees you toiling and rowing, and things are a little contrary, and he sees you in the shape you're in. Huh? You see that? It said, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea. And would have passed them by, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were immediately troubled. And immediately he talked with them. Immediately. Does that mean present right then? Yes. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And we went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. Huh? Verse 52 reminds us, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Sometimes we forget that he's there every day. Sometimes we forget of the big things he's already done. And we wonder, where is he at now? Can I tell you, he's there every day. He's a present help. He's a present help. Are you listening to me? And immediately, he says, be good cheer. Don't be afraid. Have you ever been there? Sure you've been there. Sometimes we don't pay much mind though, do we? Huh? When your life is in turmoil, you don't know which way to turn. You don't know where's up or down. You just don't have a clue. When everything's messed up, turn over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give unto you. You're not going to find peace in the world, neighbor. There ain't no peace like the Lord gives you. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Huh? When your storm is one thing, but when your life's a turmoil, that's another. Listen, we all go through times when there's no peace. We've got decisions to make. We've got things that come upon us. We never expected them. We never planned for them. Huh? We don't know what's going on in life. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what we're fixing to see. Huh? But can I tell you, when you said you couldn't go another day, that's been months ago. That's been years ago. That's been 20 years ago. It's been 30 years ago. I can't live another day. But it's been 30 years ago.
Yeah.
40 years ago. You can.
Yeah.
Because there's somebody there to help you. You got to have the Lord. You got to trust the Lord. Reality is you need Him now. Not just when you die. You need Him now. You need Him now. Think about that. I think about then there's times that we find ourselves living in sin. We find ourselves not knowing the Lord. People don't know the Lord. They wonder, what's the use? What's the use? I'm a sinner. I'm no good. I'm addicted to this. I'm addicted to that. I'm a drunkard. I'm a dopehead. I don't have no life. I'm just a sinner. Can I tell you that the Lord is a present help? Even right then. Turn over to John chapter 8, can we? John chapter 8. We're about done here. John chapter 8. I just want you to understand what the Lord is able to do. John chapter 8. Let's look here. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, He came again into the temple. And all the people came unto Him. And He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what said thou? This they said, tempting Him that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. I'll just stop her and tell you that that's how it's always going to be. Nobody else is going to stand with you when you're in sin. Nobody else is going to stand with you. They can't stand with you. It's just going to be you and Jesus. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? In all of our sin, everybody else can stand and say, whether I'm your friend, I'm this. When it comes down to it, it's you and Jesus. Huh? Then when Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, if we look here, there's a lot of things we can say about this scripture. We can say first, there's a lot of people that were self-righteous and brought her to Jesus, wanting her to be took care of and not their own. We find that in the world today. We all are sinners. Can I remind you that we're all sinners this morning? Are you listening to me? We're all sinners this morning. Can I tell you that I don't have no business putting you down, and you ain't got no business putting me down for it? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, wrong's wrong. We understand that. But somewhere I need to back off a little bit. Now listen to me. What else do I find in this? Well, at least they brought her to the right place. Can I tell you, I can't do nothing but bring somebody to where they can get a hold of Jesus. That's all I can do this morning. And that's what I've been trying to do all these 40 years, is trying to get somebody just to come to Jesus and let Him handle the problem. Y'all listen to me this morning. And then I see something else here. When everybody had left, there was nobody but her and Jesus. She needed somebody right then. She didn't need somebody a week from then. She needed somebody right then. Can you agree to that? He said, where are thine accusers? And she said, there is none. No man has condemned thee. Jesus said, no man. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Now you say, see, he's going to look over. No, he didn't look over nothing. He said, I'm not condemning you. You're already condemned. I'm not condemning you. Huh? But he freed her because he said to go. See, she was supposed to have been took and stoned. But he said, no, you go. He freed her. Are you listening to me this morning? You living in sin, you lost without God, living in sin. Huh? You've already condemned yourself. And what he'll say is go. He frees. He frees you. But then he commanded her something, said, now go and sin no more. He changed her. For then he gave her the ability to quit what she was doing. See, you can't quit. She couldn't quit on her own. Are you listening to what I'm telling you this morning? You're here this morning and you're lost. You can't reform. You can't slack off. You can't quit. You can't do nothing without the Lord. Do you understand that? I never known anybody but that when they tried to quit, they end up doing it worse. You know, because you can't do it. But boy, I know one. That is a very present help in a time of trouble. That when you're left there, just you and Him alone, that He can free you, and He don't condemn you, He frees you, but He puts something on the inside that you go live a different life this morning. I'm glad He's a present help this morning. Are you understanding me today? When you're dying lost, when you're dying lost, not just living lost. How about when you're dying lost? How about Luke 23? Man, you need help then. When you're dying lost, man, you better get some help quick, hadn't you? Huh? How about Luke 23? We'll start at verse 39. It says, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing to miss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, what's him next to her? Present. He's a present help, ain't he? You get help right now, today. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Man, you call on the Lord this morning. Let me tell you when He'll save you. Today. You call on Him today, He'll save you today. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. Right now. Help you now. See, you need the Lord now. You need saved now. You need clean now. You need to let Him have your broken heart now. You need to let Him have your sickness now. You need to let Him have your storm now. It's now that you need the Lord. And He's available right now. Right now. Right now. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know, preacher. I don't know. Well, how about John chapter 20. How about John chapter 20? Verse 24. 39 miracles have already took place but when this scripture here was written. Many infallible proofs. 39 miracles. Go back and read them all. More than that, just what's recorded. But Thomas, one of the 12, verse 24, John 20, 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. Then. When is that? That's right then, ain't it? Huh? Ain't that present help? Y'all follow me this morning? Talking about that present help. He said, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it to my side, and be not faithless but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Then saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Can I tell you this morning, he was a present help to Thomas. Right in the middle of doubt, everything I've just preached to you, we doubt. Everything I've just told you, we doubt. We don't doubt it when we're telling somebody else, but when we're experiencing it, we doubt. When we're sick, we doubt. When death comes and the sorrow comes, we doubt. Huh? When storms come, we doubt. We do. When there's nothing but turmoil in our life, we doubt. We do. We do. When we was living in sin, lost without God, did any of you ever say, the Lord won't save me. He don't want me. He don't want me. I'm too wicked. I'm too this. I'm too that. The Lord don't want me. We doubt. We doubt, huh? When we're right down up again and lost, will the Lord really do it? Well, it says here, Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. He's a present help this morning. I don't know what else to tell you. I won't try to encourage you that he's good to live with today. Now, he's good for eternity. At the white throne judgment, I'm not going to be judged there. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But can I tell you, up until then, he's with me every step of the way. What about you this morning? Are you trusting him? Are you trusting him? You say, well, preacher, my faith is weak. Well, join the crowd. Join the crowd. Can I tell you that the disciples walked with him and they watched him do miracle after miracle, and the next thing you know, they said, increase our faith. Increase our faith. They walk with him. They eat with him for 3.5 years. They eat every meal, slept in the same places. Huh? Watched him do everything from get a coin out of a fish's mouth to turn water into wine to feed 15,000 or so people with 3 loaves of bread and 2 little fish. They watched him raise the dead. They watched him go into the room and the little girl's dead, and he breathed on her, and she just raises up to tell him to take a stone away. And Lazarus, they watched him and they said, Lord, increase our faith. You would have thought they had enough faith to ask for anything and do anything. But they didn't. You know why? Because they're just like me and you. They're just like me and you. They were just sinners saved by grace that had no abilities of their own. They had a wonderful Savior. This morning, you don't have no ability. You may have some talents, but you can't even use them without the Lord. You have no ability. You have no strength. You can't do it. You struggled for days. Some have struggled for years. Struggled, trying to get back in line and do. You can't. But boy, you got somebody that'll help you. You got to trust Him. Can we read 46, Psalm 46 again? Sure, you go to piano. And I'm going to invite you, just like I preached this morning. You need Him as a present help. He's here this morning. I want you to come and find me a place around this altar. Call on Him. Call on the Lord. Let Him help you this morning. He'll help you. For it says here in Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Man, I got an everyday Jesus. And I invite you to come and trust an everyday Jesus right here this morning. To trust an everyday Jesus. Not a someday, not a now and again, but an everyday Jesus this morning. And you need saved this morning. If you're not saved, you need saved. You're discouraged, you need encouraged. Your faith is weak, you need your faith encouraged. Come and talk to the Lord. But come to Jesus this morning. That's your only hope. Jesus Christ. Father, speak to us this morning. Draw us, Lord, to you. I can't do it. But, Lord, you can. And you're my very present help in a time of trouble. Lord, I don't have it in me. I can't do it. I can't go another day. Can't go another hour. Oh, but with you, I can do it all. You done told me your word that with you I can do anything. So I'm going to trust you this morning. Help these dear people to trust you. Help the saved to walk with you, to use you every day like your God. For those who don't know you this morning, they're lost, they're deceived, they're blinded. They can't live it without you. They can't live a Christian life, Lord, until they get born again. Save the lost among us this morning. Those listening, oh God, save them. Lord, may we reach out to the help that you offer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand right.